You and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, April 17th, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where we open up the show with a chat about the media uproar surrounding Caitlin Clark's rookie WNBA contract. Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist Dan Hard dropped by. He phoned in on his way home from the state capitol to chat about what he saw during the day and heard in the General Assembly.
You know, Invariably, I think for most of us, not for all, because there are always exceptions, but I think for most of us, there was a time in our lives, usually early on, when we think we know it all, right? We think we know it all. Things are great. We're gliding along. Maybe money is not a problem. Maybe we're driving that new car. Maybe we're dating that woman who's just great, or that guy, depending upon either way. And you have a great job, and you think you know it all. Like, you don't know enough to kind of dial it back, to pump the brakes on something, until somebody says, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. It's better you don't say anything than to talk and be thought of as a fool, whatever that old phrase or that old saying is. And I'm sure that has happened to many of you in your lives. Happened to me once or twice. And I think looking back, it may be a better person to this day, when especially doing a show like this, when I don't know anything, rather than fake it the way I did early in my career, I sit back and I trust you folks and say, you know what? I don't know. I have no idea. This stuff is way above my pay grade. And it's times like this that I hear people in the media, people in very, very high levels of politics, people in sports, people in the news, where I look at them and in various levels of anger and disgust, I tell them, shut up. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're pandering. And that's part of what is making society today really, in a lot of ways, horrible, unmeasurable, and just a really dour place. What am I talking about? Am I talking about the Trump trial? Not necessarily. Am I talking about this Mayorkas impeachment today, which is going to turn out to be an absolute waste of time because nothing's going to happen from it? Am I talking about idiot number one, Marjorie Taylor Greene, or idiot number two, Thomas Massie in the House? No. I'm talking about Caitlin Clark. Now, I am not disparaging Ms. Clark, who, for that matter, we don't know yet. We have to see her at better competition. But there is something to be said of the notion that she might be one of the top, if not on any given night or day, the best women's or female college basketball player or now pro player in the world. That's not the issue. The discussion of her salary issue over the past couple of days, and you've undoubtedly seen this, and maybe you're saying the same thing I am. The discussion of her issue is illustrating two things. One, and we're talking from the White House on down, through morning shows, not this morning show, but TV morning shows, other sports people, entertainers. There's one of two things going on here. These people are either really stupid, which, go right ahead if you'd like. These people are either really stupid, I mean dumb, I mean not intelligent, or they're really intelligent and they're pandering. Because they see an opportunity with an election coming to spew garbage, to spew crap, when they know that they're wrong, but it makes them look like they care. All over the place. I mean, all over the place. From the White House, we'll get to what the guy in the Oval Office said. If he's talking without index cards, I'm not sure. We'll get to what he said. We've got network television people talking about the WNBA salary scale. And again, not necessarily as a sports topic here, but the petty hypocrisy here, because nobody cared at this level in the U.S. about the WNBA until Caitlin Clark came along. The WNBA has been around since 1997, dominated mostly by black women. There have been some white stars here and there, but mostly it is a league like the NBA dominated by African-American women. Kind of funny that nobody cared about the salary structure back then. Huh? No, nobody cared. Even when there were some, you know, some decent white players, Diana Taurasi, Rebecca Lobo, Sue Bird, whatever. You never heard about, oh, the inequity. But here comes Caitlin Clark, as good as she is. And man, these hypocrites, they circle like buzzards over a carcass. We can make a political point here. Oh, the pay for Caitlin Clark is so awful. All of a sudden, you're worried about how, all of a sudden. And now you have all these stars say, well, I may buy a WNBA team. And I, good for you. Go do it. Because it's a business. Because it's a business. It's not a popularity thing. It is a business. Let me give you what President Biden felt he had to tweet out. Or, I don't know, maybe he was having the bag as usual. And, you know, maybe somebody in the White House told him he should say this or tweet it out. This is what came from the Oval Office right now. Get this. Quote, women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us. Okay, I like that. Good line there. Line two, but right now we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. Here we go. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve. All right. Mr. President, sir, and anybody else, and Andrea Mitchell went into this. She's aghast. Oh, Hoda Kotb on the Today Show. Oh, she's aghast that the salaries in the WNBA suck. Why do they stink? The NBA recorded total revenue in 2023 of $10.58 billion. An increase of $500 million over 2022. In contrast, the WNBA was projected to bring in between $180 million and $200 million in league revenue last year. The league started its play in 1997 and has yet to turn a profit. Moreover, in the 2023 season, the WNBA average attendance was 6,615 fans per game. The NBA average attendance was 18,324 this past season. 71% of NBA games were sellouts. This doesn't mean the NBA is morally better than the WNBA, and it doesn't mean the reverse. What it means is, as I go back to my previous hypothesis here, you have a lot of either stupid people. I mean dumb. I mean look down at the rock and that's a reproduction of their brains. Or they're pandering and they know this. This drives me absolutely up a wall. Here's how this is going to work. If Caitlin Clark, and I suspect she will to a point, is able to jack up the TV revenues for the WNBA. Then guess what? Guess what? Attendance goes up. And then guess what? Revenues go up. And then guess what? More businesses want to buy commercials on TV and even radio in some cities. This is how it works. But I cannot stand it. It drives me nuts. that people who should understand supply and demand and revenues just spew this garbage. It is unbelievable. Everybody's aghast that Caitlin Clark's base salary for year one is only above $76,000. For year two, it's above $78,000. For year three, it's above $85,000. And there's an option for year four. I don't know whether that's a player option or a team option for $98,000. Why? Because that's the formula that the WNBA uses for rookie draft picks and picks one through four. That's not a comment on society. That's not a comment that we hate women. That's not a comment that the White House would say, well, we're not honoring our daughters. No, that's collective bargaining. And the women in the WNBA make relatively little money because the league bleeds money every year. So can I start this program off with just a tad of a public service announcement? If you know something about something, and understand how things work, especially pro sports leagues or entertainment in general, you know, gate revenues, receipts, all that, costs and all that, be honest about it. Don't turn this into some sort of political football here to be tossed around in an election year. And if you don't think you know something about it, keep your mouth shut. And let's come to a reality here. I can't wait for the Olympics. I love track and field, swimming, diving, beach volleyball, softball. I watch all the men's and the women's sports because I don't care about gender. A great athlete's a great athlete. But having said that, there are a lot of people in this country who don't care about women's sports. They don't. Understand, we're in Connecticut. Caitlin Clark is from Iowa. Do you know what they care about more than anything else in Indiana and Iowa? Basketball. And again, God bless her. She's an amazing player. But can we please take off the blinders here and act like her rookie contract is some sort of an affront to women? No, it's business. And this is why a lot of women basketball stars in this country go to play in Europe. Because America, by and large, doesn't care about women's basketball. In Europe, they do. Why do you think Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, before things went really sour with Russia, were playing in the Russian Pro League and making $1 million a year with a condo and a driver and a housekeeper at their beck and call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Because in Europe, in a lot of the Slavic countries, in Eastern Europe and Russia, people care a hell of a lot more about women's basketball than they do in the U.S. It's okay to admit that. Doesn't mean you're sexist. Doesn't mean you're a misogynist. You understand the market. On the phone right now is our midweek buddy Dan Haar, Hearst Connecticut Media. And Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Downhill. It doesn't feel downhill.
Well, once we get past noontime on Wednesday, according to my geometry from like fourth grade, you know, that's the top of the triangle, right? And now we're downhill, right?
I guess. I'm still not feeling downhill. I got Sikorsky layoffs. I got the legislative session going crazy. Today was like the first day of the session up there at the Capitol.
Yeah.
Just leaving now. I got a $45 parking ticket I forgot.
Oh, jeez.
I forgot that I parked in the street, and so it basically cost me $45, plus they're going to double the fine when I don't pay it.
Oh, my God.
All so that I could see Donovan Cringan for the 15th time come into the hall of the House. And the big excitement was I thought that Stephen Castle was going to announce that he's not going in the NBA because he got up to speak at the House chamber.
Yeah.
And they made the coach. They said, "Who wants to speak first?"
Yeah.
And the coach said, "Let's get Castle."
Okay.
And I thought, I was sure that meant that he was going to surprise announce that he's staying another year.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of course everybody in the world thinks or knows he's leaving.
Yeah.
Right. It's sort of common knowledge, but okay, he doesn't want to announce it yet for whatever reason. So So I get all ready. I videotaped him speaking.
Okay.
I thought, wow, this is great. I'm going to get a great thing. I'm going to be videotaping as he announces, just like Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
That he's staying an extra year. But he just said, thank you for the support. And he basically said, see ya. You know, hope you buy a ticket to see me in the NBA.
All right. Well, first of all, Dan, that was good because like many of my typical callers, you have vented. And that's what I'm here for. So that was good. I like that. It was a good venting session. Now, let's go to one of the issues we have here, I guess. We have a little spat on student loans between, involving at least one very prominent local legislator or governmental official. What's going on with this?
Well, there was not one, but two. First selectman of Greenwich, Fred Camillo, mm-hmm. took it upon himself to post a screed on the site formerly known as Twitter, in which he basically said that Joe Biden has no business giving away our money and excusing students because that sends a bad message to students.
Okay.
And Senator Matt Lesser, who's not a downstate Middletown, liberal Democrat, Senator Matt Lesser, who may come up later in this conversation for another purpose, just came across it and did what he described to me as 9 seconds of research, in which he concluded that Fred Camillo.
Oh, Dan, you there?
Lesser. Yes.
Go ahead. You broke up a little bit. So start again after the 9 seconds of research. Go ahead.
He does 9 seconds of research and concludes that Fred Camillo is a consultant for a company that got a $237,000 PPP COVID-era loan excused, right? So this goes back and forth with one side saying what a hypocrite this guy is, denying student loan relief, but accepting through the company where he's a consultant, accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars in relieved government loans. And the other side says the PPP was designed to be relieved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of those loans. And back and forth they went. And there was a lot of chatter on this. And I portrayed it in a column that I think is in print today and online yesterday, as a typical of the level of debate we're having. It says a lot because people are lining up on ideological lines when in reality the government – there is no such thing as a free market. The government is a participant in markets, and the government's job is to invest in things that are that add to productive capacity,
mm-hmm.
whether they are student loan relief or keeping the nation running through what turned out to be basically an $800 billion program of PPP,
mm-hmm.
which was on top of the $2 trillion other dollars that they basically printed money and handed out to American companies and families. So back and forth we went, and I thought it was an interesting moment because really it's a federal issue, and in some ways Fred Camillo kind of put his foot in it there.
So if we align this, as I like to do in most things in my life, to hockey and a hockey fight, would you say some haymakers were landed on each side? They both got their shots in.
Yeah, pretty good, but it wasn't the classic. I don't remember some of the old hockey players that did more boxing than playing hockey. It wasn't a classic because Matt Lesser actually made the statement in my column that Fred Camillo was one of the better Republicans. He agreed with him on environmental issues. He agreed with him on animal rights. And so what I really think is happening, which I didn't say, which I will say to your listeners, is some of you may know that Fred Camillo in Greenwich is in a fight against the far right Greenwich Patriots, which have taken over the town committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he recently, through our reporter, Andy Bly, who covers Greenwich, basically came out and rebuked the Greenwich Patriots, right? Which is a risky thing to do for a guy who's, you know, he depends on the town, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
If he wants to keep his job, he depends on the town committee. And I think this was his way of saying, hey, look, I still have conservative credentials.
All right. To housing. Now, we're coming down the home stretch here. It's the short session. A couple more weeks left here. Housing bills. Anything of note going to pass? What will come out of committee? What will go to a floor vote? What can you tell us?
Lots of things have come out of committee. Not a lot of things are going to pass. There was a small housing bill that passed today, which actually came out of planning and development, which gives the attorney general more leeway, more rights, more whatever it takes to sue landlords over what the attorney general deems to be abusive or illegal practices. So that was there's lots of small-ish things. One of them is a bill that would give a certain number of millions of dollars into a fund for towns to tap into to extend sewer lines.
Okay.
If they are willing to accept more multifamily housing. Another is a bill that would be a fund. That's the big housing bill that does lots of things. It would include a fund to incentivize and reward affordable housing in towns, not just Bridgeport, Stamford, and New Haven and Hartford. Yet another one is $20 million that the people who work with homeless people believe is needed. $20 million is not a lot of money. It's 1% of the budget, but it's a pretty big amount for a program. That's most likely not going to happen because of the budget meltdown in the Capitol. And the 30-second version of the budget meltdown is that even though we have a surplus of funds, we have rules that prevent us from spending it so that we get surpluses to begin with. And in order to not break those rules, we have to shut down additional programs, even though people like the policy, is that we can't spend the money. That's a shorthand version of what's happening. So just finishing up on housing, the most controversial thing in housing is called just cause eviction.
That's
a bill you and I may have talked about. It's where you can't evict somebody. You can't unless there's a reason. If you're a landlord in a building of five or more units, you will not be allowed to not renew that lease. You will be obligated to renew that lease, and the landlords are screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
And the tenants' rights people are saying this is what we need. That's probably, if I had to guess, I would say it will come up in the Senate and pass, but it won't pass in the House. Just a guess. A guess.
No, and that's not unusual for some of these contentious bills. And finally, I guess the second gentleman of the United States of America was in Connecticut today in Wethersfield. What was up with that?
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
What's today? Is today Wednesday? Tomorrow's Thursday,
yeah,
right?
I'm sorry. Yep.
I think it's tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes, but I'm not invited. But it's a fundraiser for Biden, and it's what's unusual about it is that usually when national politicians, especially a member of the second family, say for example the vice president, or in this case the vice president's spouse, usually when they come around, they come to the Gold Coast.
Sure.
Right. Because that's as they say, where the money is. But this is in Wethersfield, Connecticut. And it's an indication of how much eagerness there is for people to support Joe Biden in this heavily blue state, even outside of the rich towns of Madison and New Canaan and Greenwich and so forth.
Okay. And speaking of finances now, how are you going to approach that $45 parking ticket when you get to the office? Now, will that be taken care of? Wink, wink.
I'm going to bond for it. I'm not going to pay for it out of operations.
You could have bond out $45. I love that.
I'm going to bond for it.
Thanks, Dan. Hearst Connecticut Media, Dan Hart. Dan, be good, and we'll chat with you next week. Thanks.
Next week, we'll talk about AI.
All right, beautiful. Thank you, sir. Dan Hart with us. Yeah, you got to see us press people.